So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And welcome back to all those who have traveled. May the Lord continue to be with you. May the Lord continue to bless you and to strengthen you. And I always like to remind you of the quick passage of time. You see, 28 days of the year have already gone by. In the year 2018, you see, so fast. And then January will be over, and soon we'll be into February, and soon summer will be over, autumn will be here, and in next to no time, winter will be here. So you see how fast time passes. And so it is very, very needful for us to ask this very vital question. What have we been doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or what are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm asking you these questions not just for fun, but just to remind ourselves that these are questions that we need to ask, because the day will come, or the night will soon come upon us, and we will no longer be able to serve the Lord. And then one day we shall have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and then we will have to give an account of what we did for Him. And then for those of us here who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your hearts so that you will come and believe in Him as Lord and Savior today, that you will not make no delay, but put your trust in Him today and right away. My message this morning is, by what spirits are we influenced? I speak from Luke chapter 11, the passage that we read earlier on. And here in this passage, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ delivering a man who was stricken dumb by a dumb spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ delivered him from demon possession, and then this man began to speak. And the people marveled, they were amazed. But some of them said, Jesus cast out demons by the power of the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. Now, this is recorded here in the Lucan account. Now, there is another account given to us in the Gospel of Matthew, perhaps about the same incident. Yes, in that situation, the Lord Jesus Christ delivered a man who was possessed by a blind and dumb spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ healed him. Then after the Lord Jesus Christ healed him, we read about the reactions of the Pharisees. I read for you what is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees, now the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, heard about the Lord Jesus Christ delivering this man of demon possession, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So you see, both the ordinary folks as well as the religious leaders were of the same view. Yes, Jesus delivered the man or people of demon possession by the power of Beelzebub. And then you go on to verse 16 of Luke chapter 11. If you turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 16, we read verse 16, and others tempting him sought him a sign from heaven. They were not satisfied with that miracle that was performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to see more signs from him, more miracles from him. To prove what? So what if the Lord Jesus Christ were to perform more miracles? Were they going to come to believe in him? Were they going to say that you are our Messiah? Were they going to say that? No, my dear friends, the whole purpose of asking the Lord Jesus Christ to perform more miracles was actually to try to see him fail, to try to expose him, and to try to ruin him. That was their purpose. Then the Lord said this to them, it was not possible to employ Beelzebub to cast out demons. The logic is very simple. No kingdom divided will be able to stand. You can't use devils to cast out devils. Yes, if it was possible to make use of the power of Beelzebub to cast out demons, then the Lord Jesus Christ posed the Pharisees this question, or the people this question. Then how do some of you cast out devils? Or how do your sons cast out devils? The sons here does not refer literally to the children of these Pharisees, but rather it refers to the this word refers to the followers or the disciples of these Pharisees. So how would they cast out demons? Would they cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub? Your disciples, your followers will tell you it is impossible to do that. So the Lord Jesus Christ then said, then why are you accusing me of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub? And then the Lord said something which we will talk about a little later on, something that was really very, very telling. He said this, if I, by the finger of God, perform this miracle, then know that the kingdom of God has come. Now what does that mean? The kingdom of God has come. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them that the Messiah is here. The kingdom of God is here. If I, by the finger of God, perform this miracle, then the kingdom of God is here. Your Messiah is here. But of course, they did not recognize him as such. Now, this incident talks about a dumb spirit or dumb devil. I'll call him a dumb spirit. Yes. Next, I'll talk about the dumb spirit, first of all. Next, I will talk about the prejudiced spirit. And then finally, I will talk about the divisive spirit. Now, let's begin with the dumb spirit. Verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. You see, it was a dumb devil. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, and the dumb spake, and the people wondered. The possessed person was dumb because he was possessed by a dumb spirit. Now, it is true that we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can never, ever be possessed by demons. We can never, ever be possessed by devils. It is true because we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. The Lord's Holy Spirit indwells us and he possesses us. And because he possesses us, there is no way that we can ever be possessed by evil spirits. And the word of God in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 tells us that he that is great in us is greater than he that is in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ present in us in the person of the Holy Spirit is greater than he that is in the world, and therefore it is impossible for us to be possessed by demons. But friends, one truth that we mustn't neglect is that although we may not be possessed by demons, we can be influenced by demons. We can, because don't forget, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we can be influenced by evil spirits, although they cannot possess us. Yes. Now, can we not be influenced by the dumb spirit or a dumb spirit? Of course we can. Yes, we might not lose our ability to speak. We might not lose our ability to communicate. We can still talk. We can still communicate. But spiritually, we can be quite dumb. Yes, and that's a fact. We can be spiritually dumb. Spiritually, we can be so dumb that we will not even talk to God. Yes, we will not talk to God in private, and we will not talk to God in public. Yes, can you imagine, my dear friends, if we are not influenced by the dumb spirit, and we will talk in public, you know what will happen to our church prayer meeting? It will be full house every Friday. Yes, because we are not influenced by the dumb spirit, and we'll come to pray to the Lord at the prayer meeting. Now, but of course it is understandable that we may be speechless in public, and we can appear to be quite dumb because naturally we are very shy people, and that's possible. But we cannot be dumb in private, my dear friends. In private, we must be talking to God. In fact, we are exhorted to pray without ceasing. His word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing, and that is what we must be doing. We must never ever be dumb in regards to talking to God. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, spiritually, we can be also quite dumb in that we do not care to give the gospel to people. Our mouth is apparently shut, influenced by the dumb spirit. We don't care to share the gospel with people. Now let me ask you, and I also ask myself, with how many people did we share the gospel in the year 2017? How many people? Were we dumb, or did we open our mouth to speak to people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And now 28 days of the year 2018 have gone by. Yes, did we share the gospel or we talk the gospel to anyone at all in the last 28 days, my dear friends? So if we have not spoken to anybody, can we not say that we are spiritually dumb? Yes, my dear friends, we can be spiritually dumb. When was the last time we gave the gospel to anybody? My dear friends, you can see whether or not we are really influenced by the spirit of dumbness. Yes. Now, then the saddest thing about being influenced by the dumb spirit is that we are so dumb that we would not even want to open our mouth to share the gospel with our loved ones. We do not care to share the gospel with our parents. We do not care to share the gospel with our siblings. We do not care to share the gospel with our relatives. No, because we are spiritually dumb. Then we can be spiritually dumb also in that we can teach, but we choose not to teach. Yes, we have been given the talent to teach, but we just wouldn't want to teach. It will be a sad, sad day indeed on the day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and then we have to give an account of the talents that the Lord has given to us, one of which is, of course, the ability to teach. And the Lord asks us, how come you didn't teach during the time when you were on the earth? I gave you the talent to teach. But and then sheepishly you have to say, but Lord, I think I was influenced by the dumb spirit. My dear friends, that is a very poor excuse indeed. How needful it is that we pray that the dumb spirit be removed from us, so that we will not be dumb, we'll talk to God, we'll give the gospel out, and that if we have been given the ability to teach, we'll teach. Then we can be dumb also in that we won't stand up for the truth. We won't open our mouth to stand up for the truth. Today we see false teachings being taught in churches. We see the spirit of compromise being practiced in churches. Yes, the truth is compromised with untruth. But we are so afraid to open our mouth to speak out against the perpetrators of this falsehood, of this untruth. We say, oh, let's not say anything. Let's not say anything. If we said anything, we can sound very, very offensive, and we can sound as if we are very unloving. My dear friends, let that not be the case. Let's pray that the influence of the dumb spirit be removed from us. Then if we are leaders, all right, not just people in the pews, but if we are leaders, and if we keep quiet, you know what God calls us? You want to know what God calls us if we don't open our mouth to speak up for Him? Dumb dogs. Yes, dumb dogs. Do you know that God called the spiritual leaders in the Old Testament time, during the time of the prophet Isaiah, dumb dogs? Yes, I read this for you. They were selfish, they were corrupt, and then they were spiritually blind also. See what God calls them. Isaiah 56 verse 10, so that you know that I didn't invent these two words, all right? Okay, Isaiah 56 verse 10. Isaiah 56 verse 10. Let me read this verse for you. Isaiah 56 verse 10. All right, please refer to that. Isaiah 56 verse 10. But keep your finger at Luke chapter 11. Isaiah 56 verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. You see? Dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. His watchmen. Now these... It has reference to the spiritual leaders in those days. They were appointed by God to be watchmen over the safety of God's people. But friends, they failed in their duties. They didn't bark. They didn't warn people against untruth. They didn't speak up for the truth. Yes, and God called them dumb dogs. Now, my dear friends, let's watch it. If we don't say anything against untruth, if we don't speak up when we see untruth, and when we see people perpetrating untruth, I'm talking about churches that spread falsehoods, and we keep quiet, and we don't care to guard our congregation against untruth, God calls us dumb dogs. All right, so watch it, friends. Now, we might be dumb because we are spiritually blind and ignorant, like those are spiritual leaders. But friends, the truth can also be that we are dumb because we choose to be dumb. Yes, we do not care about the holiness of God. Yes, we do not care that holiness is the brightest gem of God's crown. Of course, God's crown has got many gems. It's got the gem of goodness, wisdom, and so forth. But the brightest gem on his crown is the gem of holiness. Now let us understand, it is his holiness that required that our sins be paid for before we may be forgiven. And it is the holiness of God that required that the blood of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be the only payment sufficient to pay for our sins. Let us realize that. So friends, how can we not be cut to the heart when God's holy name is tarnished by churches, organizations, individuals that falsely proclaim Christ and do not care about the holiness of God? It is because they do not care about the holiness of God that they falsely proclaim Christ. How can we not speak up for the Lord? How can we be dumb dogs? My dear friends, let us pray by the grace of God that we be the barking dogs that he wants us to be. Now, really, what's the real cause of dumbness? What's the real cause of dumbness? I dare say that one of the real causes of dumbness is our unbelief. Yes, it is our unbelief that causes us to be dumb, and it is our unbelief that causes us to be so easily influenced by the spirit of dumbness. Now, you remember this priest by the name of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Yes, he and wife, and this couple was childless. And then one day, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came and made this announcement to Zacharias. And the angel told him that his wife was going to bear a son. And of course, that son would be John the Baptist. And then John, of course, could not believe. He was filled with unbelief. Yes, because he said that he was already old, the wife was already old, the wife was barren, so there was no way that he was going to have a son. Now let me read this to you, okay, from Luke chapter 1. If you're fast enough, you turn to Luke chapter 1. If not, it's all right, I read for you. Luke chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. But be speedy, otherwise, you know, we fall behind in finishing the message in 45 minutes, okay? Luke chapter 1, 18 to 20, verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in the season. So because of his unbelief, he was stricken dumb. Now, if we are filled with unbelief, we can be quite dumb indeed. Yes, why will we not talk to God? We will not talk to God because we do not believe that he's a prayer-answering God. We do not believe that with him nothing is impossible, so we don't care to talk to him. Now, why wouldn't we share the gospel with people? We don't care to share the gospel with people because we are filled with unbelief. We do not believe that God's hand is not shortened, that he's well able to save. That's why we don't care to give the gospel to people. And then why do we not speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord, when his holy name is being tarnished? Why? Because we do not really believe that holiness is the brightest gem of God's crown, and we do not care to understand that God wants us to be holy and that he wants us to speak up for him. We don't believe all this. That is why we are so dumb. My dear friends, let us pray by the grace of God that this unbelief may be removed from us. Pray that the Lord will give us hearts of faith, my dear friends, so that we will speak to him and speak for him. And pray also that the influence of the dumb spirit be removed from us, so that we will speak to him and so that we will speak for him. So, we know there is a spirit known as the dumb spirit, alright, recorded for us in the gospel, so we know that there is such a spirit, a dumb spirit. Yes. Now, I do not know whether there is such a devil or spirit known as the prejudice spirit or not. I do not know. But if you look at the behavior of the Jews in those days when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, we'll see very, very clearly that what they had in them was a prejudiced human spirit. Alright, not evil spirit, but the prejudiced human spirit. Now, I'm not saying that they were filled with the spirit of prejudice in the sense that they were possessed by demons and so they became very, very prejudiced. No, I'm saying that they were filled with the spirit of prejudice in the sense, in the same sense as, let's say, people are said to be, to have the spirit of generosity, or the spirit of teamwork, or the spirit of philanthropy, or the spirit of patriotism. Yes, that's what I mean. So, the Jews in those days might not be demon-possessed, but friends, if they were unbelievers, and many of them surely were unbelievers, they had as their father the devil. And so it was not surprising at all that they should be so prejudiced in their spirit. Now the Jews in those days were filled with this prejudiced spirit indeed. You see how prejudiced they were against the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have already said. The Lord healed the man who was demon-possessed by the power of God, by the finger of God. Yes, but, and that a miracle was performed could not be denied. But you know what the Jews said, what the Pharisees said, that the Lord Jesus Christ performed those miracles by the power, that performed that miracle by the power of Beelzebub. Yes, so we read in verse 15, but some of them said, he casteth out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now, their prejudiced spirit and their hardness of heart was something that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before this event actually took place. And so in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord actually quoted what was written in the book of Isaiah. He said this, let me read this to you in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. All right, Matthew 13, 14 and 15, I'll read for you. If you are fast enough, turn to those verses. If not, just listen, I read for you. Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And in them, in the Jews, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. So the Lord was quoting the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. My dear friends, you see what actually had happened to them? Yes, they were spiritually blind, their ears were dull of hearing, they shut their ears, and so that they could not understand the truth. Yes, God's judgment had come down upon them, so that when they heard the truth, they could not understand, their hearing was dull, and when they saw the truth, they could not accept the truth, they could not understand the truth. Yes, now I want us to see the consequence of having this very, very terrible kind of prejudice spirit. The Lord said something that we should pay attention to. All right, I refer you to verse 20 in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 11. All right, verse 20. Okay. Verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. So by the finger of God, I perform this miracle, yet you are so prejudiced with unbelief. Now you know there was one person in the Old Testament who saw miracles after miracles performed by the one true living God, and yet he would not believe. You want to name that person? Pharaoh, of course. Pharaoh in the Old Testament. He saw miracles after miracles, yes, but he would not believe. And even his magicians, the magicians in the land of Egypt, recognized that it was the finger of God, the very words used, the finger of God. I read to you from the book of Exodus. The the magicians actually recognized that it was the finger of God that performed all those great miracles, but Pharaoh would not believe. Now I read you this passage from Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 to 19. Exodus 8, 18 to 19, you listen. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lies, but they could not. So there were lies upon men and upon beasts. They tried to perform the same kind of a miracle that the Lord through Moses had performed, but they could not. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. You see the words? This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Yes. So the finger of God was clearly shown to the Pharaoh, but he would not believe. And you know what happened? He hardened his heart, of course. And then the word of God here says, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now who hardened his heart? Who hardened his heart? Of course, God hardened his heart. Now what it means here is that God showed his grace to Pharaoh. But there came a time when God had to withdraw his grace from him because he hardened his heart. You see, so God had no choice but to harden his heart by withdrawing grace from him. And as of that time, there was no way that Pharaoh was going to believe in the one true living God. Because his heart was hardened by God, grace was withdrawn from him. Now the Pharisees, during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, were in danger of committing the same sin with their prejudice. Because it was clearly shown to them that it was the finger of God that produced that miracle. Yet they attributed the performance of that miracle to the power of Beelzebub. Now, if God were to harden their hearts, you know, they would have reached a point of no return. In which case, even if they wanted to believe, there was no way that they would be able to believe. Because God would have given them over to what is known as the reprobate mind. Now, I'd like us to also see this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Something which the Lord said that is very much connected to what we are talking about this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. The Lord said this in Matthew 12, 31. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now in this instance, yes, here, it was with reference to the sin of attributing to the devil the work that was done by the finger of God. Can you imagine that? That was actually blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Here was a work of miracle performed by the finger of God, and they attributed that to the power of the prince of the devil. They were, my dear friends, clearly blaspheming the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, such a sin, the Word of God says, is an unpardonable sin. Now, I do not know what kind of prejudice you might have in your heart against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I assume that you are believers, but I fear that some might be professing to be believers, but in actual fact might not be. Yes, but I do not know what kind of prejudice you have against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But know one thing, my dear friends, if you persist in hardening your heart and have this prejudice against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there might come a time when God will have to withdraw his grace from you. And your heart will be hardened to the extent that even if you want to repent, you can't repent. Yes, you would have been given over to a reprobate mind, a mind that is totally incapable of coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Which means, my dear friends, you are lost forever. That's what it means. So today, when the opportunity is given to you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't throw away that opportunity. Don't say no, my dear friends. Come and believe in him, because today is the day of salvation. There might not be another day for you. Understand this truth. Now, one spirit of prejudice we are capable of having is the spirit of racial and national prejudice. Yet we are quite capable of writing certain nationalities and races off, and we say there is no help for them in God. They are just too depraved to be saved. And did you know that years ago, that was how the Jews regarded the Gentiles? Yes, during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ and even before his time and before his time. Yes, the Jews regarded that salvation was only for the Jews, because the Jews were God's people. They were called by God. They were God's people, chosen by God. And actually, they were given the responsibility of being witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the truth with the rest of the world. But friends, they failed in their duty. Yes, and I dare believe that they failed in their duty because of their prejudice against the Gentiles. And the truth was, actually, God called Abraham and told Abraham that in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Yes, through the witness of the Jews, of course. And of course, through the coming of the Savior. And through the Savior, salvation will come to the world. But the Jews were supposed to be witnesses for the one true living God to the rest of the world. But they failed in the witness. Now, even after the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into heaven, there was this national prejudice in the hearts of the Jews. Did you know that Peter was also prejudiced? Did you know that? Yes, he was. He thought that the gospel was only for Jews and not for Gentiles, until God had to make it very clear to him and said, Peter, the gospel is not only for Jews, but the gospel is also for Gentiles. And God showed it to him very, very clearly one day when he was in this place called Joppa, and God gave him a vision from heaven. He saw this vision three times. And there was this big sheet that came down from heaven on which were all kinds of four-footed beasts and creeping things. They were all unclean. And the Lord said, Peter, eat those things. But Peter said, I'm a Jew, Lord. All these unclean things, how could I be eating them? And the Lord said, what I've cleansed, make sure that you don't regard them as unclean. Then Peter got up from his trance. And then he was wondering what the message was all about. The message became very, very clear to him. It was this: the gospel was not only for Jews, but the gospel was for Gentiles as well. And so he was called by this Gentile by the name of Cornelius, a Gentile centurion, to go to his house to share the gospel with Cornelius and his family. And to Peter's amazement, the Gentiles were converted. They were converted. They needed not to become Jews, first of all, to believe. They were converted. Yes, so that prejudice was removed from Peter. Now, when Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, there was opposition from the Jews. In fact, there were Jews who were known as the Judaizers who opposed Paul. Yes, because they were very, very insistent that for Gentiles to become believers, they had first of all to become Jews. And the male Gentiles had to be circumcised first before they could become believers. You see, they were totally prejudiced against the Gentiles. Now, if God had not intervened to remove this national and racial prejudice of the Jews, today, my dear friends, we might not be recipients of the gospel. Now, let's not be blind by prejudice. Let us not be blinded by prejudice. You see, if the missionaries were very, very prejudiced against our Chinese ancestors, you know, they would not have received the gospel. And if they didn't receive the gospel, there was a good possibility that we who came from Southeast Asia would not have received, we Chinese who came from Southeast Asia would not have received the gospel also. You see, when the missionaries arrived in China some 150 years ago, our ancestors, or some of our ancestors, were actually quite barbaric. Yes, they were fighting one another, and when they conquered their enemies, you know what they would do to the hearts of their enemies? They would eat up the hearts of their enemies. That's what they did, my dear friends. Yes, how barbaric they were. And if the missionaries had regarded the Chinese, our Chinese ancestors, as being too barbaric, then they would say that these people cannot be saved, too depraved to be saved. There is no help for them in God. If that were the case, then the gospel would not have gone to them, and they would not have believed. And as I said, we who come from Southeast Asia, Chinese who come from Southeast Asia, would not have received the gospel. But thank God, the missionaries were not prejudiced. against our ancestors, and they persisted, and in time our spiritual forebears were converted. Now then think of this missionary, a missionary like Hans Egede, a Norwegian who tried to give the gospel to the Eskimos some 300 years ago, or in the 18th century, in the 18th century. Yes, yeah, about 300 years ago, maybe 200 years ago. For 15 long years, he labored among the Eskimos. How many converts did he have in 15 years? Zero. Not a single one. And during that time, his wife died. And then after 15 years, he left Greenland and went back to the land of Denmark. You would say that he had forsaken the Eskimos. He had written the Eskimos off. No, he did not. The truth of the matter was that his two sons continued his ministry. They went back to Greenland, established a mission, and practically evangelized the whole land of Greenland. So, my dear friends, let's be careful that we not kill the gospel work by our prejudice. Let this prejudice, the national prejudice and the racial prejudice, be removed from us. Now, another prejudice that we are capable of having is social prejudice. Social prejudice. We simply do not have the compassion for people whom we regard as being lower or in the lowest rung of society. Yes, we say there is no help for them in God. They're just too depraved to be saved. Now, I'm very, very impressed by some churches like the one Reverend Koshi pastored in Singapore that minister to drug addicts. Yes, you see, they have hearts of compassion, no prejudice against them, and so they minister to these folks, and they have been very successful in their ministry. Now, I look at our church here in Sydney, and I sometimes ask myself, what would happen if someday we were to minister to drug addicts? Now think for a moment, what would happen if we were to minister to drug addicts? Let's say someday we minister to drug addicts, and then all of a sudden there's a big influx of drug addicts coming to our church. You know, some might have been former drug addicts, some might have been a hero of the drug addiction, and they come and worship with us. My dear friends, would there not be a hollowing out effect in this church? In other words, what I'm saying is that would there not be a possibility that our people here, our congregation members here today, do not want to associate with these people because these people belong to a lower rung of society, and then we leave this church because a hollowing out effect to take place in this church? Would that not be a possibility? I hope not, my dear friends. I hope not. Now, I know it's hard to have social prejudice, but we must pray. We must pray to the Lord that this social prejudice be removed from our heart, that we may have hearts of compassion to share the gospel with people. Now, I do not know if there is such a demon known as a divisive spirit, but the Lord did talk about the behavior of a divisive kind. Look at verse 17 of Luke chapter 11. Luke 11:17. But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. He was telling the Jews that it was very fallacious to think that Beelzebub could be made use of to cast out demons. Yes. The truth is, demons could never be made use of to cast out demons. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, rebuking the Jews in those days about. Now, let's learn from what the Lord Jesus Christ says concerning this truth. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. My dear friends, that's the truth. A house that is divided will fall. Yes, if this church is divided, this church will fall. Now, let's guard against having a divisive spirit. I'm not saying that there is a demon called a divisive spirit, but there are people who are very, very divisive in their human spirit. such a spirit was present in the church of Corinth in ancient times. Remember, we've been studying this at our Agape North Gathering meetings. We've been studying the book of 1 Corinthians. The church was characterized by division. Yes, there were some parties in the church that identified with one person, and then some other people identified themselves with another person. They hero worship people like Paul, Apollos, and Peter, and so forth. And the church was very divided. They had a very divisive spirit. Now, I've seen churches in which such a spirit was very, very prevailing. People eyed one another with great suspicion. Yes, if you spoke to one party, the other party will be very suspicious, and they will think that you have aligned yourself with the other party. Now, can you imagine if you are a visitor to such a church? Would you not be able to sense the disunity in the church right away? I say you will be able to sense it right away. And would you want to go back to such a church? You would not, because you do not want to go back to a church that is so quarrelsome. You go to church to find peace, to find joy. You don't want to go to that church and to participate in the divisive kind of behavior that exists in that church. Yes. Now, whenever a church is divided, it won't grow. The attendance stagnates. In fact, I dare say that the attendance will drop. And one thing that is most telling is that if the church is very, very divisive, the attendance at the church prayer meeting will drop for sure. And if you were to trace the cause of the problem, invariably you'll see that the cause of the problem is really the leaders of the church. There are those who are very, very judgmental. There are those who are very fault-finding, always very, very critical about other people. They are the ones who are very likely to sow discord in the church. They are the ones who are likely to undermine the leadership of other people, and they would want to promote themselves. And you know what really is the problem is with such people? What do you think is the real problem with such people? My dear friends, it's pride. Pride. They are proud. And they think that they are better than the other people. They are able to manage the church better than other people. They think that their ideas are better than other people. And they think that they must be the premier leader in the church. And then if their ideas are not received, well received, and other people's ideas are received, that's when they get real mad, and that's when they stir up a division in the church. Friends, if we are guilty of dividing the church, we are guilty of dividing the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are guilty of this terrible sin called schism. My dear friends, let us make sure that we are not guilty of this terrible sin called schism. And recognize, my dear friends, that pride is the mother of all sins. And remember, God hates pride. Every time we sense pride rising in us, we must very, very quickly recognize that the old man in us has been crucified, dead. And we are dead to this sin called pride. Remember, and we must remember that in the church, people are given different kinds of talents. There are people that are talented in certain things. There are people who are talented in other things. Yes, we are not the most talented person in everything. Yes, we need one another. Let us be willing to humble ourselves and remember that we are to be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, and in honor preferring better than ourselves. My dear friends, we must necessarily take that position if we really want to promote unity in the church. Now, of course, if a church has to divide because of fundamental doctrinal differences, then let the church be divided. Then that kind of division will be legitimate. For example, if one party is for a position that is not biblical, and another party is for the position that is biblical, and if a separation takes place, then that separation is legitimate. Let the church be divided. But it is only when it is because of doctrinal differences that the church may be divided. Now, what kinds of spirits are influencing us? Is it the spirit of dumbness that causes us to be dumb in praying, that causes us not to give the gospel to others? Yes, is it the spirit of darkness that causes us not to stand up to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the truth against untruth? Friends, let us realize that the real cause of our dumbness is our unbelief that causes us to be very, very easily influenced by the spirit of dumbness. Let's pray that the Lord will remove this spirit of the pray that the Lord will remove unbelief from us and to give us hearts of faith so that we will be willing to talk to God, so that we will be willing to share the gospel with people, so that we will be willing to speak up for the Lord against untruth. Now, it is certain we cannot be possessed by demons if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, let us realize that we can be filled with the human spirit of prejudice. We could be prejudiced against other nationality. We could be prejudiced against other races. And this prejudice, my dear friends, for sure, if we have it, will hamper the work of the gospel. Let us pray that the Lord will remove this prejudice from us. And let us pray that we will be filled with hearts of compassion and be ready always to go out to share the gospel with anybody, regardless of race, regardless of nationality, regardless of their social status. And if you are an unbeliever, my dear friends, I want to ask you again, yes, I plead with you that you will not be prejudiced against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you are prejudiced against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you continue to be prejudiced against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there may come a time when your heart is so hardened that the Lord will have to withdraw his grace from you, in which case your heart will have been hardened, and then you would have been given over to a reprobate mind, and then you will not be able to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So while your heart is still soft today, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Turn to him before he withdraws his grace from you. And finally, if you are one who is very critical, yes, very critical, check to see if you are not proud, judgmental, and self-righteous. If you combine your being critical with a very divisive spirit, you are a very, very good candidate for causing division in the church. Let us pray, my dear friends, that the Lord will remove this divisive spirit from us and pray that we will always be working for unity in the church based on the Word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, O Lord God, that you help us that we may not be influenced by the spirit of dumbness. But Lord, we pray that you will, by your grace, remove that spirit from us. And we realize that very often we do not open our mouth to speak. We are so dumb because, Lord, because we are filled with unbelief. We do not believe that you are the prayer answering God, and so we do not pray to you. We do not believe that you are a God who is able to save, and so we do not care to share the gospel with others. And then we do not stand up for you, to speak up for you, because we do not believe that you are the most absolutely holy God, and you want us to be holy, and you want us to speak up for you. And Lord, we pray that you will remove this unbelief from us. And Father, we pray that you will also remove the spirit of prejudice from us. Help us, O Lord God, that we may not have national prejudice or racial prejudice or social prejudice. But Lord, we pray that you will fill us with hearts of compassion so that we may always be ready to share the gospel with others. And then finally, O Lord God, we pray that we may not have a divisive spirit in us. Cleanse us, O Lord God, we pray that you will cause us to be willing to humble ourselves always and to, in honor, prefer others better than ourselves. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.